What was your dream as you were growing up? Did you have anybody talking about college or anything like that?
No. The white picket fence was my dream. You know, the house and being a wife and mother and having children. That's what my dream was. I can remember the white picket fence because you learned that in school too. And that was what I imaged would be successful.
Didn't you have a difficult time learning because you're dyslexic?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Well, being dyslexic, you can't read and you can't spell because you take information. A lot of people, I think Einstein was, people like that were dyslexic. But what you see gets translated or muddled in your brain. And I thought I was so dumb because my aunt, we went to school together and she was a year older and in a grade higher than myself, that I couldn't spell. My first experience in school, what I did, I memorized the word, and also because of the little spot or turn corner or something, I found a way to satisfy the teacher without really doing what was expected of me. All through school, I did that same thing. I would study the teacher and figure out, you know, that she wanted this kind of information, and I would give it to her more verbally, and she would get after me after the test. Mostly they were women. The test I would take, you know, said, "You can't spell." And said, "Why don't you go back and try to learn to spell?" Because people didn't know what dyslexia was at the time. And I just thought I was so dumb. And I'd ask my aunt, "How do you spell so and so?" We're doing homework. And she'd say, "Oh, look it up in the dictionary." And I said, "If I could look it up in the dictionary, I wouldn't ask you how to spell it." So it was really hard to be doing school, but I learned how to satisfy my teacher enough that they knew that I knew the subject.
So by the time you got into high school, you pretty much had that mastered,
Yes.
and it was not to hold you up through high school at all.
That's right. And then I had time to be involved in school activities. I was in the glee club, and the band would get to go to the football games. And so a friend of mine and I said, "Well, how could we go with the band?" So we talked him into letting us be the flag girls that would parade around with the flags and wear the little white boots and all of that and get to go to the ball games. So we have to figure out how to do things in a different way, but do it that fit what people needed and wanted from us.
I just want to mention this. I know you were raised to be maybe politically aware and point out that Indians were not allowed to vote until the passage of the 1924 Indian Civil Rights
That's right.
Act. It's just, in this day and age, it's hard for us to
I
believe
know.
that.
And being the first people of the land, too, grandfather took it real seriously. And of course, Roosevelt was his idol in politics. We'd go to vote. And as soon as the doors were open to vote, we had to go about 3 miles to the voting place. We'd go and we'd play in the yard while our folks voted. But we grew up thinking that President Hoover's first name was Goddamn, because that was what Grandpa said. Only he would curse him every once in a while. When he had a bad day, he would come in. Boy, and when Roosevelt died, I remember that very vividly in school, how it affected the whole school system, and then going home and Papa, just, it was so sad. He became again tied to the radio. And of course, he ran away from Indian boarding school. So he would say to me every once in a while, "Granddaughter, I wished I could write." He could draw his name, sign checks and things. My mother and my sister bought Look magazine and Life magazine for him. So he would call me over and say, "Now tell me who these people are." And I'd tell him. So he would listen to the radio. Then he could visualize. And of course, not having a written language, you have to use your creative imagination a lot. So he followed the war like that. And grandmother came to visit me in Washington, and she had met Lady Bird Johnson when she was campaigning for Lyndon and McAllister, as a matter of fact. So she, being the Comanche that she was, she gave Ms. Johnson a shawl. Ms. Johnson said, "Well, when you come to Washington, Miss Tabitha, I want you to come visit me at the White House." So she came, first time she ever flew. It was just a wonderful thing. And of course, all of the senators wanted to meet her, and they all made over her. And we took her to the Senate dining room, and Vice President Humphrey was make over her quite.
Okay, so you'd already been in Washington by that time.
Oh, yes, I
Okay,
jumped on you
let's
there.
get you to Washington because